On a whole, you're spent, but your head in particular is frazzled. Everything you eat pairs well with whiskey. You've overpaid for flowers that will be arriving late. All you want is for the blank page in your notebook to fill with a perfectly conversational poem like your Billy Collins. Instead, you find mazes drawn by your children. Put down your pencil and listen for your secret mantra. If not your mantra, how about a new episode of Take Note, our podcast about notebooks, paying attention, and Kong Skull Island. I'm Adam, and I'm here with my good friend Ted.
Hello, Adam. I like the mazes in the notebook.
I like the mazes in the notebook, too. They fill up a notebook.
But you'd rather have a Billy Collins poem of your own making.
That's right.
That's fair enough. Well, let's kick it off with our segment that we like to call What Do You Got? Which means, what are those little notes in your notebook this week that really tickle your own fancy? What do you got, Adam?
Ted, I overheard this in a chain burrito fast casual restaurant. My wife makes cakes, too, so she brings home all those cool funnels. Do you think I heard that right?
Well, it's like the little extra words in there that really make it. She makes cakes too. So they were talking about someone else who makes cakes. And then he used the opportunity to make the connection to the funnel. Brilliant.
He really wedged the funnels into that conversation. Ted, what do you got?
Mine is a quick observation scribbled in between going from one station at a children's event. This was the Touch a Truck Saturday event at the local park where tons of firefighters and truckers and whatnot and monster truckers brought out their trucks for kids to come and mess around and honk the horns. The Touch a Truck theme feels to me like a throwback to the Hands on a Hard Body documentary. Did you ever see that?
No, I did not. I know what you're talking about now.
It's an amazing documentary. I'd recommend it to you and anybody else listening who hasn't seen it. Nevertheless, it's just one of these big fun activities. But one of the activities was the firefighters had set up this little temporary station where they had a house about 30 yards away, and the kids could get up and turn on the fire hose and fire it at the house and kind of knock down these wooden things. But my note says, 4-year-old girl wandered in front of the fire hose at the big truck fair.
No.
It was just one of those moments, the old volunteer firefighter showing the next kid how to work the fire hose. And as he's super focused on this, and this other girl just wanders straight in front of that hose. It was not firing, but it was one of those moments that happens in slow motion where you look over and go, oh, no, don't go there. And boy, in this case, everybody ended up safe. But I think my wife and I both just went, oh, God, no, this is about to.
Make sure your kid's not on the hose.
Yeah, we had already concluded our 3.5-year-old took his turn and somewhere in the middle of it, the firefighter turned to us and goes, he's a type A personality, isn't he? It's like, what do you got, Adam?
All right, Ted, I ended up down one of those internet wormholes. I was trying to find another word or the word, I think it's phosphine, it's the images you see sometimes when you close your eyes when you see light. I was trying to find the word for that or figure out if there was another word for it, and instead I ended up on the Wikipedia page for closed eye hallucinations. There are 5 levels of closed eye hallucinations. The first is visual noise. I think that's when you close your eyes and there's some light behind it. The second are light dark flashes. I got a note here that says can control with relaxation. The third, patterns, motion, and color. Note says, relatively easily accessible to people who use LSD. The fourth, objects and things. The note says, a deep state in which you return to the normal world by opening your eyes, but the hallucinations remain overlaid. And the fifth level is overriding physical perception, requires an isolation tank and great relaxation. What do you got, Ted?
This is my note. I saw a lady whom I thought had a baby in a baby carrier on the front of her. It turned out she was wearing a shirt with a very large print of the Notorious B.I.G. on it.
He does have a baby face.
My notebook this week is filled with guitar purchasing notes.
Did you purchase a guitar?
I have not purchased a guitar. I'm not even close to purchasing a guitar, which brings my notes to the level of satire or parody or something. But this has been my wormhole of the week. I've played the same junky acoustic guitar that was $100 when I got it for Christmas as a 14-year-old. And this is my first foray into, like, grown-up musical instruments. And there's really a lot to work with. Even, like, I've just focused on one company, the Martin Guitar Company, which is apparently very iconic. I've been, you know, reading about their history and delving into the various models and their catalog and, you know, YouTube reviews. It's fun. I'm learning a lot. For example, I learned that the Dreadnought body style, which is just the acoustic guitar style that you see everywhere. It's the, you know, what you think of when you think of an acoustic guitar. The Martin Guitar Company in the 30s developed that body style specifically upon request from Hawaiian guitar players, like who were actually playing in Hawaii, who wanted a bigger sound. So they requested that of the company.
Oh, that's really cool.
That's what became the icon. So little things like that. My notebook is filling to the brim with really inefficient ways to spend, you know, thousands of dollars just so I can feel like a grown-up.
I started a new notebook this week. It's the Field Notes National Crops Corn Edition. I have this idea. I've got three of these six unused, and I thought that maybe I'd try to use all six of them and, like, trade people for the ones that I'm missing. But this particular notebook is completely unused except for the first page. About 5 years ago, I had started writing a story on that first page. It's a story I've been trying to write in one way or another for probably close to 10 years. And I don't know, 5 years ago, I got a page into it. It's about starting a new job, and the other new hire is literally the devil. But I turned the page on that, and I'm just using it as my daily journal.
I was going to try and riff on that. I don't think there's anything I can do with that. But the transition from literally the devil to grocery list, it's pretty enjoyable.
Yeah, absolutely.
All ensconced in the corn edition.
That's right.
Of your notebook. Actually, you know, speaking of starting a new notebook, I thought that was something I wanted to touch upon in the how I use my stationery category. And I haven't prepped you for this at all, but when this is what I do, and I'm currently in this state, when I'm transitioning from one notebook to the next, I keep a running, like, to-do list in the back of my pocket notebooks. And so just because I might fill up the rest of the book, I might, like, my to-do list might still be pretty active.
That makes sense.
So I don't necessarily want to toss it in the old archive. So I do the kind of Midori Traveler's notebook, little semi-hack thing where I take my next field notes book. First I apply my homemade Kong Skull Island sticker to the cover of that next book. But after the Mod Podge has dried, I get a big old rubber band and kind of strap it to the old book at the staple fold. So then I do the kind of multiple book thing as I transition from one to the other, which is, weirdly satisfying.
So do you have rubber bands going down the middle of two notebooks, and that's how they're connected?
Yeah. Which is actually, you know, when I heard about the Midori Traveler's Notebook, that was the first time that I learned about this idea of kind of strapping different books together with some, you know, elastic or whatever. Because that's the idea that those are built on. They have a nice leather cover, but then they have all these different inserts, and all the inserts, like the leather cover, comes with three elastic bands. I've never actually used one, but I did some research. And then, you know, you realize after a little bit of time, you just grab a rubber band and you can do that with field notes, just stick them together.
Does it kind of tear up the notebook?
It probably would if I did it for too long.
Okay.
This is more just a transition thing. I think based on the Field Nuts Facebook page, I think a lot of people probably do it for a longer period of time. Maybe they use a nicer elastic band or something.
That's cool. I'll have to try that out.
It's fun. I mean, it's a nice way to... It really is kind of a transition from one to the next. You know, maybe the next 2-3 days, keep going, and then finally run out of those little extra corners that you cram notes into as you're switching around. Adam, I did want to take note of a podcast that I started listening to that I really enjoy in addition to the usual lineup of stationary podcasts. This is the Make Do podcast, but I found that episode to be filled with really great conversation about parenting and arts and crafts and how to, you know, like how to work with your kids on art and how to talk to them about making stuff and how to be creative. So I would encourage everyone to go Google Make Do, MAKE space DO, the Make Do podcast. It was really enjoyable.
I will check that out. I just started listening to the Doughboys, I think, on your recommendation.
Oh, yes.
My strongest
recommendation.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in that stage with every podcast where, like, I like this one, but I think it's only once you get deep into a podcast and you, like, all the little inside jokes and all the little mannerisms are funny to you. I'm not there yet, but I'm definitely enjoying it. It's a good show. I'm listening to the episode about Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, which I think is the newest one.
Well, I've done kind of the opposite. I went, as soon as I realized that it was going to be, I was going to really like it, I just went straight back to, like, the 2015 episodes.
Okay.
So I started from number one, which is, you know, that's the ultimate way to get all the inside jokes. You'd basically just go back to the very beginning.
I think I would have done that, except Apple Podcasts is the worst.
It's really hard to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It's really hard. It takes some work.
Yep.
And it's, I always feel like I'm behind some sort of imaginary, like,
you gotta catch up.
Like the robot rabbit at a greyhound race. I feel like I'm always sort of like chasing some phantasm, which that always happens when you go back to the beginning of a podcast, cause you sort of inherently want to catch up, but it's, the chips are all stacked against you because it's like, you know, 60 hours of listening or something.
Well, and, you know, maybe 10 years ago when I was doing that with Jordan Jesse Go, there weren't that many podcasts that could fill. Like, I could do a Jordan Jesse Go in the morning. I could do a Jordan Jesse Go at night. There wasn't that much. There wasn't that much else to listen to. But I can't imagine doing something like that now because I can't keep up with all the podcasts that I like as it is, let alone going back and listening to all of a podcast.
Yeah. It's, to me, it's, you really have to connect with one, like, to do that.
Yeah.
And I've, like, the best show on WFMU, that was one that I connected with, you know, 5-6 years ago. And right now, I like the Doughboys, the theme, which is reviewing fast food restaurants, is, it exists pretty well out of space and time, so. And there's a just, these two guys have just hit a really great sweet spot of, like, basically comfort, peaceful listening, like, you know, no politics, no, none of the stuff that brings stress to a daily life. So it's actually, it's a great peaceful option, which is the only reason I've, you know, kind of kept at it with the back catalog is it has a special certain.
But you're only listening to the old episodes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I
haven't may take a dark turn old. Around 2016. I don't know. We should all just go back and listen to pre-2015 podcasts to de-stress.
That's actually an incredibly good idea. Just full-on podcast-based time travel.
Yeah, that's right. I have a
few. Maybe we should just do this podcast as if it's 2015.
That's a great idea. I have a few things to take note of. I posted on our blog a post called Left to Right, and it was about I was having some pencil anxiety. I went on the Erasable Podcast community on Facebook, and I asked the pencil people there. I showed them a picture of my pencil case and said, "Just will someone just tell me what pencil I should use next?" And I got a lot of really useful answers. But the blog post is about Thea Constantine said, "Just go from left to right," which was a magical and easy suggestion. So that's what the blog post is about. After that comment, though, Michael Hagen of Leadfast and Johnny Gamber of Erasable and of Pencilution podcast. I hope I'm getting all those things right. They both dropped some really great pencil and paper knowledge that was really interesting about, you know, the hardness of pencils and the toothiness of paper. It made me realize that I just really have no idea about any of this stuff. But they explained it in a way that was so useful and so clear. I really appreciated that. So I would check out their blogs. And I don't know if you're in that community, maybe try to find that that thread. I thought that was really useful.
Awesome.
I also wanted to recognize a designer who sent us logos for our podcast, which we will, I think, try to incorporate soon. Gustav Kellen, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. They are amazing. I'm looking forward to sharing them. And it came totally out of nowhere.
Yeah. Big thanks to Gustav. Just a creative and generous person.
Yeah. And just blew me away, too. Everybody I've shown them to has just been really wowed by them.
Yeah, they're super cool.
And
super cool.
While I'm at it, I return to a photo that Brad Dowdy of Pen Addict posted some years ago with his pen pairings for Field Notes. So he took all of the Field Notes seasonal additions up to the point that he had taken the photo, and he had recommended pen and pencil pairings for each edition. And it's a photo that I'm always Googling it to take a look at it, especially when I use an old edition, to see if I happen to have the pen or the pencil that he recommends. I never do. But I will post that in the show notes. We'll post a number of the things that we're talking about in the show notes, so you can see it there. And last up for the take notes section, I mentioned Billy Collins in the introduction, and I accidentally bought a Billy Collins book of poetry on iBooks this week, and it it's fantastic. And there's a poem called "Fishing on the Susquehanna in July" that is just great. And since I've accidentally purchased it, I will recommend it to all of you as well.
You've reminded me that I accidentally purchased the digital version of Kong Skull Island.
Did you really?
To be fair, I was attempting to purchase the DVD version, and I purchased the digital version. And I promptly received a WTF email from my significant other, who gets email alerts from Amazon.com. I confirmed to her it was not a Russian bot, speaking of not living in 2015. I was happy with the mistaken purchase, much as you were happy with your mistaken purchase.
It reminded me, maybe one of the very first iTunes purchases I made was a mistake. And this was 15 years ago, I guess. And at that time, I was able to email someone at Apple and get a refund. Can you imagine something like that happening today?
I cannot imagine. Just to go back to your post about, you know, reaching out for help when deciding on which pencil to use. I mean, I think you've beaten yourself up a little bit about it, but who among us that is listening to this podcast or takes part in any of the Facebook groups or any of it has not spent an inordinate amount of time thinking about which writing implement to pick up, literally, as you're sitting there at your desk needing to write something, turning to, I mean, just, I think yesterday I stared at my pen cup for a full minute, trying to decide which pen I wanted to use in a certain notebook, the aforementioned Candy Skulls kind of notebook I have, which has a funky paper. So I didn't want to use a pen that was too thin and, you know, this and then that. But I didn't want to go full fountain pen. So I think your dilemma was actually a really common one. And I think pointing out the suggestion to go from left to right is borderline Zen master.
Absolutely.
Level of clarity and simplicity.
Not that I don't appreciate the expertise that Michael and Johnny brought to the question, but I probably won't be able to retain all the information that they have left to right so easy. The problem that you have is you got a cup. I've got them in a row already.
Well, I think, you know, to that idea, all of their advice, and all, you know, this is what you realize over time, once you kind of get into thinking about this stuff, you got to use it. And once you try out something and try a combination and try, you know, start to use stuff, it becomes more intuitive. And, you know, describing it, you know, the toothiness of this or how hard a pencil is, it becomes second nature because the sense memory is burned into you and you can then explain it to other people. But before you've actually taken the time and experienced the dissatisfaction of some certain combination or the pleasure of some other combination, I mean, that's when it really sticks. And I think that's what people like Johnny Gamber and Tim and Andy at the Erasable Podcast, they're so great, and Brad Dowdy and Mike and all of them, they're just really brilliant at bringing all that experience into a great conversation. And that's what makes it enjoyable to even spend so much time talking about it, is because, you know, you hear people talking about their experiences, then you kind of build up your own experiences. You try little things that seem so minuscule, but actually when you're sitting there with a pencil on a certain piece of paper, it can be so discordant that you want to just toss it. You know, you want to never experience that again. And then it becomes real for you. And then, you know, if I come up to you the next day after that and say, "Hey, cool pencil," you know, then you recall all that yourself, and it kind of perpetuates, and it's like that experience thing. And honestly, I think that's what gives all this conversation such legs, is that it is about experience. It is about trying stuff yourself. And, you know, actually, just to throw it back to an earlier part of the conversation, the guitar thing, I've reached this point where every piece of advice I read and every, you know, I've gotten to the point where the only next step is to try these guitars out. And to the great benefit of a lot of YouTubers and guitar review type people, you know, and to Adam, Ryan, shout out to Ryan, one of our listeners, good friend of mine here in Houston, to fellow dad, you know, he joined in this advice. You got to try it. You got to go out to Guitar Center. They'll ignore you when you walk in the door, so you're free to do anything. It's like the Best Buy of instrument stores, and you just play every single guitar, and you're never going to decide anything until you get it in your hands. You feel it, you feel the size of it, you hear how it sounds. And I think pens and pencils and paper are just exactly the same way. And that's what's so fun about it.
I don't think I'm good at trying things. I want them to be right the first time. And when they're not, I feel dumb. And that is where my pencil anxiety came from. But it has at least somewhat subsided.
Somewhat. Well, that,
when,
all right.
When you talk about this stuff, it sounds like, yes, you're very well adjusted and you're appreciating all of this. Me, why is this paper smudging? Why is this pencil smudging? I get very upset.
You're ruining my corn edition.
That's right, right. And what does it matter? I realize, what does it matter?
You got a summer beverage recommendation. That's what I hear.
Yeah, Ted, we are approaching summer, and so we've talked about maybe having a regular segment on summer beverages, and I thought I would kick us off. I would like to warn you and the listeners, there is a long windup on this one.
As opposed to our typically succinct build-ups and transitions.
Just you wait. All right.
I'm ready.
Summer beverage series.
I'm going to need a summer beverage to get through this one.
Number one. All right. A Hispanic woman that my wife Jennifer works with told her that her neighborhood is beginning to gentrify. They now have their first white neighbors. A couple of hipsters moved into a house a few doors down. This house has had a hard time keeping tenants. Years ago, the woman who lived there at the time served her husband with divorce papers. He cut her throat, killing her. The kids still own the house. They rent it to unsuspecting tenants in the winter, but when summer comes around, they're outside. They meet neighbors who will invariably tell them what happened, and they leave the house at once. My wife and the woman who she works with, they think that the hipsters will probably stick around because they're gentrifying hipsters. Jennifer then told the woman that the Topo Chico she was drinking at the time is now hipster water. And she didn't know that hipsters were drinking it yet or that it had been purchased by Coca-Cola. But Wilco is currently selling a one-of-a-kind guitar strap made from a Topo Chico belt, so Topo Chico is definitely hipster water. One day, these aggressive bubbles of the Topo Chico are a refreshing burst for me, an elixir that's doing mysterious magic in my gut. The next day, they are winning a battle against me that I really had no desire to take part in. Topo Chico pairs well with pineapple chunks. The end.
Once you learned that it was hipster water, did it no longer ease your...
Oh, I knew it was hipster water. No, that stuff's just it's got a hell of an aggressive bubble, don't you think?
I like it. We've done a lot. It's been a lot of time talking about other podcasts, but I'm gonna keep doing that. The Oh Yeah Dude podcast, which is one of my favorites of all time. Jonathan from the Oh Yeah Dude podcast has a theory that La Croix, it's so satisfying because of sort of what you're talking about, this sort of large satisfying bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
And but he had the theory that something's going to come out, that they're doing something unholy. You know, there's some compromise to create those bubbles that's going to blow up. And I can't help but think you've pulled Topo Chico into that same circumference. Oh. Like they sold their souls for bigger bubbles.
Topo Chico has a whole legend about their bubbles, which if I had spent a little more time studying that and less time on the murder house, I probably, I guess I'm not really so prepared for the summer beverage series. But yeah, there's a whole beverage. There's a whole legend about the bubbles of Topo Chico and a princess and whole thing.
Well, that's what Google's for.
Yep.
Do you put the pineapple chunks in the Topo Chico? Or you're saying you eat them alongside?
I eat them alongside. It's possible like that the pineapple is what's doing my gut in, not the bubbles, maybe.
I pat myself on the back. I did part of my Mother's Day breakfast in bed setup was a Topo Chico, refrigerator chilled Topo Chico, in the twist of lime variation.
Oh, I don't know that we have that here yet. I read that was available in Texas. I'm not sure if it's here yet.
Well, I don't mean to brag, but it's it's here. It's here, all right. And it was on the tray. Positive reviews for that one. But it's gotten to the point where, like, it's almost sort of a special occasion beverage.
Really? We're buying our Topo Chico in bulk. Pretty good deal. About, like, 75 cents a bottle.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you go out to the warehouse out of the docks?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You got a couple longshoremen connections?
That's right.
Straight out of the container boat?
I've got two pallets of Topo Chico in the garage. And I've been drinking about a case a day. Maybe that's why the bubbles are getting to me.
Hey, let's do this again, Adam.
Absolutely, Ted. Good talking to you.
I want to say real quick before I go, hi, Eliza. Listen to your mother.